Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
I'm so glad you're here. This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. I came across one of the scariest true stories the other day. A family moves into a home in Texas surrounded by peaceful, beautiful woods. For years, everything seems completely normal until strange things begin happening just beyond the tree line. Children are drawn into the woods. Mysterious figures begin appearing, and eventually whatever is hiding among those trees seems to make its way closer and closer to the family and their home. What transpired on this quiet property in Texas is genuinely one of the most terrifying haunted wood stories I've ever come across. Let's get right into it. This is the house in the woods. Our story begins in Texas with a man named Abram Cias. Abram was originally from Temple, Texas, and was a disabled military veteran. He joined the United States military in 1989, and not long after, he was sent overseas to Kuwait to fight in Operation Desert Storm. While there, Abram found himself on the front lines, fighting against the Medina Republican Guard during the Battle of Medina Ridge. He experienced war firsthand. He knew what it felt like to be in dangerous situations. He knew what fear felt like, real fear. But years later, after returning home to Texas, Abram would experience something that frightened him in an entirely different way. Something he couldn't explain. Something that left him wondering what he saw for years to come. In 2001, Abram's son, Tom, was born. Around this time, Abram moved to Killeen, Texas, where he purchased a mobile home in the Elm Grove Estates Park. And one of the things that immediately drew Abram to this particular property was the land surrounding it, the woods. Beyond the homes and the small neighborhood park was this thick stretch of Texas woodland, trees for miles, as far as the eye could see. Abram loved it. He really enjoyed being in nature. After everything he'd experienced in his life, there was something really peaceful about being here. It felt quiet and private, like a good place to raise his son. So not long after settling into the home, Abram's sister, Beatrice, comes to live with him. She was going through a major change in her own life. She and her husband had recently separated, and Abram and Beatrice decided it made sense to move in together. The two had always been really close as brother and sister, and with children to care for, they were able to help one another. At the time, it felt like the beginning of a good chapter for both of them. Family nearby, kids playing outside, nothing about it felt sinister. But Beatrice would eventually become just as terrified of those woods as her brother, refusing to ever return to that house in the woods again. And what's strange about this story is nothing happened right away. For nearly 3 years, life was completely normal here. There was a small playground on the estate, positioned close to the edge of the woods and not far from Abram's home. The neighborhood kids loved it. They'd run over to the playground, swing on the swing set, and from the front of his house, Abram could keep an eye on them. And despite those woods sitting just beyond the neighborhood, Abram and Beatrice never saw anything unusual. No strange noises or unexplained figures. For 3 years, This was simply home. And then came 2007. Abram's son was around 5 years old, and seemingly out of nowhere, things began to change. It started one afternoon. Abram's son Tom was outside playing with another child at the little park near the woods. Abram and Beatrice were sitting in front of the house at a picnic table, talking while the children played nearby. It was a very ordinary afternoon. Every so often, they would glance over at the playground and see the kids. Everything was fine, until suddenly it wasn't. As the two sat there talking, both of them became aware of a strange feeling, an uneasiness. Abram would have difficulty explaining exactly what it was because there was no obvious reason for it. It was just this sudden, overwhelming sense that something was wrong. And almost instinctively, they looked toward the playground. The children were gone. The swings rocking back and forth like they had just been there. Abram and Beatrice immediately stood up, and at first they probably assumed the kids had simply wandered a few feet away, maybe behind some playground equipment or toward one of the other homes. But as they walked quickly toward the swings, calling their names, nothing. Abram's calling out for his son, Tom, where are you? There is no answer. And as they reached the playground, they began looking around for any sign of where the children had gone. And that's when the woods suddenly felt different. Because standing at that playground, there was one very obvious place the children could have disappeared into, the tree line. They're yelling. They continue calling out for the children, but they aren't calling back. So the two enter the tree line and begin searching frantically, getting further and further into the woods, but there is no sign of the children. So for a parent, this is a total nightmare. They're screaming for the kids, looking behind trees, searching through the brush, trying to figure out how two young kids could have gotten this far without anyone noticing. And Abram's heart is racing. His military training begins to kick in. There is only one thing on his mind, find my son and find him immediately. Then finally, somewhere ahead of them, Abram sees something. The children, Tom and his friend. They run towards them, and immediately something doesn't seem right. The two kids aren't running around or playing. They're not crying or calling for help. They are just standing there completely still, their heads slightly lowered. Abram and Beatrice rush towards them, relieved to have found them. But when they reach the children, they're very confused because the kids almost seem like they're in a trance, completely disconnected from what's happening around them. Abram begins asking Tom, what happened? Why did you come out here? Why didn't you answer us? And for a moment, the children don't respond. They would later describe it as if the children had been hypnotized. Eventually, though, the kids begin to come around. And when Abram asks again why they wandered so deep into the woods, they finally give him an answer. They tell him they were following someone. Someone had called them into the woods. Abram wants to know, who? Who did you follow? And the children tell them, the man in black. According to the kids, a man dressed in black had appeared near the tree line. He called to them, and for whatever reason, they followed him straight into the woods. Now, imagine hearing that as a parent. Your five-year-old just disappeared from the playground and is saying that some man lured him into the woods. And you find him deep in the forest, standing almost motionless and seemingly in a trance. For Abram, whatever fear he had been feeling immediately turns into protective instinct. If there is a man hiding somewhere in these woods, approaching children, Abram is going to find him. He tells his sister, take the kids, go back to the house. I'm going back into the woods and I'm finding this guy. So Beatrice does. She takes them, keeps them safe. And he begins searching the woods intensely, looking for any sign of this mysterious man in black. He searches through the trees. He looks everywhere. Anywhere someone could have been hiding. Because in Abram's mind, this is a real man, and he's going to find him, and he is going to turn him over to police. Abram searched everywhere and found absolutely no one. There was no mysterious stranger or man dressed in black. There was no explanation for what the children had described, because there was seemingly no one in those woods. Eventually, Abram returns to the house, and now both he and Beatrice are deeply unsettled by what happened. Maybe the children had seen a real man who managed to get away before Abram could find him. Or maybe this was something imagined. like an imaginary friend or some strange game between two little kids. Maybe there was some sort of ordinary explanation for all of it, but there was one detail that neither Abram nor his sister could quite shake, which was that feeling, before they even realized the children were missing, that sudden sense of dread that had compelled them to look toward the playground. And when they did, the children were gone. Whatever happened in those woods that afternoon, neither of them could explain it, but life continued. A few weeks passed, nothing else happened. Then another few weeks, nothing. Slowly, the fear surrounding that afternoon began to fade, and the playground became just a playground again. And for a while, things seemed to return to normal. It was a relief. A few months later, the household would change again. More family came to stay with Abram. Beatrice's son, Abram's nephew, and his wife were going through a difficult period in their lives and needed somewhere to stay while they worked toward getting a place of their own, so Abram opened his home to them. And along with the couple came the newest member of their family, their newborn baby. Time passed, everything was fine. Then, late one night, it began again.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
The house was quiet. Everyone had gone to bed. The baby was sleeping in his crib in the living room. Sometime during the night, Abram was suddenly awakened by the sound of the baby crying. Quite loudly, something had woken him up. So Abram climbed out of bed, stepped into the dark hallway. He made his way toward the living room, still half asleep, and as he rounded the corner, he stopped because in the darkness of the family room, he could make out the shape of someone standing beside the baby's crib. A figure, just standing there, looming over the baby. And at first, Abram doesn't panic. Naturally, he assumes it's his nephew checking on his son. He calls out to him, "Hey, is everything okay?" But there was no answer. Abram takes another step forward, and as his eyes begin adjusting to the darkness, something about the figure doesn't look right. As he gets closer, he realizes that is not his nephew. Within moments, this dark figure moves, quickly bolting away from the crib. Abram watches as it races across the room, straight out the front door. Immediately, Abram starts yelling for his sister. "Beatrice, come out here. Someone was in the house. Someone was standing near the crib." And as far as Abram knows in that moment, someone was trying to take him. So his sister comes running into the family room, and Abram doesn't wait. He grabs a flashlight and takes off through the front door after this figure. And once again, the chase leads directly toward the woods. It's really dark out, but Abram can still see ahead of him. And he sees this dark figure moving toward the park, that very same playground that his son had disappeared from months earlier. Abram is calling out for this figure, flashlight in hand, screaming, "Hey, get back here," but the figure doesn't stop. It's moving fast. He tracks it as it goes past the park, toward the tree line. He enters the woods after it, trying to keep the beam of his flashlight straight on this figure. And as he begins closing the distance, he realizes something. The thing he's chasing doesn't look like a person. At least, not anymore. According to him, what he was looking at was not a human being. Like a dark mass moving through the woods in the shape of a person. Not dressed in black, its form looked almost misty, smoky. And the deeper he gets into these woods, the worse he feels. That same kind of dread he and his sister had felt before. The afternoon the children disappeared, that horrible, sinking feeling. Only now, Abram was looking directly at the thing he believed was causing it. And then he heard it. Laughter. Coming from somewhere ahead of him in the darkness, The figure had stopped, had turned, and was laughing at him in a mocking, taunting way, almost as though whatever this thing was wanted him to know that it could come back whenever it wanted, that this wasn't over. And standing there in those woods, he suddenly thought back to what his son had told him months earlier about the man in black. He now believed he finally found him. He didn't know what this was or what it wanted, but he knew its intentions were not good. Abram continued watching this figure moving between the trees, and then it disappeared. Not running away, it just vanished right in front of him. Eventually, Abram turned around and made his way back through the trees towards the house. He's trying to comprehend what had just happened because the entire situation had changed. Before, he could tell himself that maybe his son imagined something, maybe the kids had invented the man in black. Maybe there was really a stranger who simply escaped before Abram could find him that day. But now, Abram had seen it too. And this thing wasn't human. This was some sort of dark entity. And whatever this thing was, it wasn't just staying in the woods anymore. It had come inside their home. It had stood in their living room, only inches away from a sleeping child. He also realized, day or night, it didn't seem to matter. And from his perspective, there appeared to be one disturbing connection between these encounters, the children. Whatever this dark entity was, it seemed interested in the children living inside that house. Abram believed in a higher power. He believed that there are things in this world that can't always be easily explained. From his time in the military, he described witnessing miracles. So Abram was open to the possibility that what was happening around his home was supernatural. In fact, he began to wonder if he was being tested spiritually. Night after night, nothing happened. Days passed, then weeks. Eventually, another couple months went by without another encounter. The house was quiet again, and the family began settling back into normal life. That was until summer was over. Eventually, October arrived, and then it began again. Late one October night, Beatrice was lying in bed. The house was quiet. She was beginning to drift off to sleep. When suddenly, her eyes opened. Somewhere outside, she heard a woman screaming. The screaming was loud, and according to her, it sounded absolutely horrifying. It sounded like a woman that was in genuine distress, someone who needed help. She immediately jumps out of bed and runs into Abram's room. She shook her brother awake, telling him there is a woman outside screaming. Something was wrong. They needed to help her. Abram quickly got out of bed, grabbed his flashlight, and the moment he stepped out of the house, he heard it too. Coming from somewhere beyond the property, deep within the woods, was the unmistakable sound of a woman's voice. She was screaming, "Help," and then again, "Help me, please help me." Over and over, the cries were desperate, urgent, and they seemed to be coming from somewhere deep beyond the tree line. So Abram believes there's actually a woman out there. Maybe she is hurt or lost, or worse, someone is hurting her. Either way, he's not going to ignore it. He grabs a baseball bat and with his flashlight, he runs straight into the woods. Beatrice stays behind. After everything that had already happened near those woods, she had no desire to follow that voice into the darkness. That really scared her. So Abram goes alone. He crosses the property, passes the park, and enters the woods. Needless to say, it's nighttime. It's very dark out there. It's just this narrow beam of Abram's flashlight cutting through the trees. Every so often, he would hear the woman scream again, "Help, help me." So he follows her voice. He's calling out to her now. "Where are you? Where are you?" But the woman never answers his questions. She only continues screaming for help. So Abram keeps moving toward the sound, deeper into the woods. And the farther he gets, the closer her voice seems to get. He's trying to pinpoint exactly where it's coming from, moving between the trees with the flashlight in one hand and the baseball bat in the other. Again, he hears her. She's closer now. He calls out, but there's no response. Then another scream, even closer. So he believes he is moments away from finding a woman being attacked, That's what it sounds like. So he's mentally preparing himself for whatever he's about to walk into. He tightens his grip around the baseball bat. He is ready to swing at a moment's notice. Because judging by the sound of her voice, this woman should only be a few feet away from him. He moves forward. The cries are right there. He raises the bat, preparing for someone or something to emerge from the darkness. And then the screaming stops completely. It's now complete silence. Abram shines his flashlight around between the trees, across the ground, into the brush. He calls out, "Hello?" Nothing. There's no injured woman or attacker. He doesn't hear any footsteps running away. There isn't anyone there at all. And standing alone in the middle of those woods, he is suddenly hit with this horrifying realization. I've been deceived. The voice hadn't been calling for someone to rescue her. It had been calling him, drawing him away from the house, deeper and deeper into the woods. Whatever had been screaming had lured Abram exactly where it wanted him. And that's when he raises his flashlight, shines it into the trees ahead, and he sees something. Two yellow eyes. An enormously tall, dark figure, standing completely still, watching him. Then he moves the flashlight and sees another one. There are two of them. One stands off to his left. The other is partially concealed behind a tree to his right. These things were huge, tall, dark silhouettes towering in front of him. These shadow figures were completely black against the surrounding woods, but their eyes seemed to glow yellow in the darkness. And neither figure was moving, they were just standing there watching him. Abram understands the position he's in. He's deep in the woods, alone, in the middle of the night. No one knows exactly where he is, and whatever these two things are, they are bigger than him, and there are two of them. And he has nothing but a flashlight and a baseball bat.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Abram isn't thinking about finding that screaming woman anymore because he now believes there was no woman. Whatever made that sound had brought him here deliberately, and now he was surrounded. He has no idea what would happen if they started moving toward him. So Abram does the one thing that comes instinctively, the thing his faith had taught him to turn to when there was nothing else he could do. Abram begins to recite the Lord's Prayer. Standing in the darkness, gripping that baseball bat, staring at two enormous shadow figures, Abram begins praying out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His voice carries through the trees, and as he continues reciting the Lord's Prayer, he slowly begins to move, one step backward, then another, continuing to pray over and over. And according to him, it worked. The figures didn't move toward him. They didn't follow. Abram continued walking away from the woods, not turning around. He didn't want to see if they were behind him. He didn't stop, repeating the Lord's Prayer over and over, until eventually he reached the edge of the tree line. He could see the park again, the lights near the homes, and once Abram knew he was finally out of those woods and back at his front door, he was relieved, but a part of him was terrified. What he saw out there was something he couldn't explain, and he was deeply shaken. He told Beatrice everything. He was relieved just to be back inside his home. Relieved to be alive. He had prayed to God for protection for himself, for his family, for the children sleeping inside his house. And after this, I think this is really interesting and something that I would definitely do. He goes and takes a shower. This wasn't about washing any dirt off from walking through the woods. He wanted to wash everything from that night off of him. Any attachments or darkness, anything that might have followed him home. When the entities can mimic other people's voices, there is something about that that is so terrifying to me because they can get you to do anything. I mean, they can mimic your family member. They can mimic your kid. They can deceive you. That is so scary. Whatever is in these woods continues to lure this family out into the forest. Oh boy. The following day, Abram told his nephew about what happened, and the two men decided to go back into the woods. Because there was still that question of the screaming woman. What if someone really had been out there? They decided to retrace Abram's path through the woods, looking for anything that could explain what had happened. Would they find a woman's purse, identification, wallet, evidence of any sort of struggle out there? But they found nothing. There were no belongings. At this point, there is an obvious question. Why stay? Why continue living beside these woods after everything that had happened? And I think the answer is a bit complicated. For Abram, this was his home. His family lived there. They had been there for years. He wanted to stay and protect his home. Once again, time passed, and things were relatively peaceful for a while. Until one night, the activity returned. Only this time, Abram wouldn't be the only person to see it. One evening, he had been out late with friends, and a female friend offered to give him a ride home. And by the time they pulled up beside the home, it was around 2 o'clock in the morning. She parked along the side of the house, and for a minute or two, neither of them got out. They were simply sitting in the car, talking. Everything outside was quiet, what you would expect. Until Abram's friend happened to glance in the rearview mirror, and she stops. There was something behind the car. She looks at Abram and says, "What is that?" Moving around the car was a dark shadow figure. Abram turned around trying to see what she's looking at, and before he can even process it, his friend shrieks because now there's another, then another. Abram looks toward the front of the car. There's a dark figure there too, and within moments, they are all around the vehicle, shadowy figures, dark human-like forms surrounding them. Only they weren't behaving like those two enormous entities he had encountered in the woods. Those figures had stood completely still. These things were moving fast, darting around the car. One would appear near a window. Another would move behind them. Then something would race past the front of the vehicle. His friend is terrified. She wants to leave, and she's like, "We need to get out of here." But Abram remembers what happened last time, and the one thing that, in his experience, seemed to keep them from coming any closer, and that was prayer. Abram tells his friend to pray, and then he begins praying himself loudly, calling out to God, praying for protection. As the two of them sit inside the car surrounded by these shadow figures, something happens. The figures begin to disappear, and within moments, they're gone. The two look around, and the property is quiet again. For Abram's friend, that was enough. She had seen something that she did not want to be a part of. She quickly left that night, and according to Abram, she never came back. She made it very clear to him. Whatever was happening around that house, she wanted no part of it. So he goes back inside and tells his sister, Beatrice, what had happened outside. And as he is explaining it, he suddenly feels something on his back, a sharp stinging sensation. He's rubbing it and he's not sure what it is, so he turns to his sister and asks her to look. When she lifts his shirt, she freezes because Abram's back is covered in deep red scratches, long marks running across his skin, almost like claw marks. And this changes everything for them. This wasn't something they were simply seeing anymore. Something was now physically touching them. Something had left marks on his body. These things could attack, injure him, At this point, he became increasingly convinced that there was something deeply wrong with those woods. There was something very dark and evil out there. And he begins to wonder if any of his neighbors had experienced anything. Of course, this is not always the easiest conversation to have with neighbors or folks in general. Some people are incredibly open to paranormal experiences. Other people are going to look at you like you have completely lost your mind. But Abram didn't really care anymore. Too much had happened. And there were other families living around that property, other children playing near those woods and in the woods. Eventually, he spoke with a woman who lived nearby, and to his surprise, she didn't laugh or dismiss him. In fact, according to Abram, she immediately gave him a warning. Don't go into those woods. Well, a little late for that. Then she asked him a strange question. Had Abram ever heard of a shapeshifter? He knew the term, but didn't know much about the beliefs surrounding it. And this neighbor began describing what she understood shapeshifters to be. Supernatural or spiritual beings capable of taking different forms. They could be human, animal. Even more disturbing, she believed the appearance of people you recognize. Family, friends. She told him that some traditions also describe entities capable of imitating voices, mimicking people, using something familiar to draw someone closer. And immediately, Abram thought about the woman screaming for help, that voice that got him running deep, deep into the woods that night, only to disappear completely once he reached the place it seemed to be coming from. The neighbor suggested that whatever Abram was encountering could be some kind of supernatural presence connected to the land. They talked about the history and reputation of the area, and according to Abram, there were beliefs among some people that something about the land was spiritually disturbed, that powerful dark forces were attached to it. Whether that explanation was correct, he couldn't know. But by then, he was definitely convinced of one thing. There was something in those woods. And unfortunately, the activity didn't stop. As time went on, the family continued experiencing strange disturbances around the mobile home. Some nights, they would wake to the sound of banging against the walls. Loud, persistent pounding, not one or two knocks or normal creaking or settling of a house. They would hear these banging sounds again and again. Other nights, it sounded like rocks were being thrown against the house and the windows. They would hear movement outside, like something was circling the property while everyone was asleep. And then there were the sounds coming from deep within the woods. On certain nights, they said they could even hear what sounded like distant drums coming from somewhere beyond the trees. And there was a question of, was this some sort of native presence in those woods? Because that rhythmic, faint drumming was potentially a clue. The way that Abram felt he could deal with this was through his faith. He leaned into it now more than ever. He placed crosses, crucifixes, and images of Jesus throughout his home. He kept holy water near him while he slept. The family prayed inside each room, asking God to protect the people living there. He developed a routine. Abram would walk around the house, praying, sprinkling holy water on a regular basis, asking for protection. Then one night, it became dangerous. Abram stepped outside after dark and began making his usual path around the home, praying, sprinkling holy water, trying to create a spiritual barrier between his family and whatever was out there. And as he walked, he felt something hit him, a force on his back. Abram turned, there was no one there. Then another blow, this time against his chest, hard. Then another. He was being struck, attacked by something he couldn't see. This became so overwhelming and brutal that Abram fell to his knees and eventually lost consciousness, collapsing onto the ground outside his own home. He would later say this experience felt like every bit of energy had been drained from his body, and he lay there for hours When he finally opened his eyes, it was the next morning, and his young son was standing over him, shaking him awake. And this really seemed to be the moment when he understood that this could not continue any longer. Whatever was happening, it was escalating. How much further could this go? And more importantly, how much was he willing to risk finding out? The encounters had started with strange feelings, then the children disappearing into the woods, then the man in black. Next, something standing over the baby's crib, the screaming woman, the glowing eyes, the shadow figures, the scratches. He wanted to stand his ground. He wanted to protect his home. He didn't want to be driven away by something that he couldn't explain, but there comes a point when protecting your family doesn't mean staying and fighting. In this case, it meant leaving, and that's exactly what they decided to do. Abram and his family moved away from the mobile home, away from the park, and away from those woods. And according to them, the difference was immediate. Once they left, they felt safe. The fear and anxiety that had followed them around that property was completely gone. They slept better. They didn't hear any strange sounds. They didn't see anything. It was clear nothing followed them to their new home. Whatever was in those woods and had been tormenting the family seemed to stay behind. And I think that's one of the most unsettling parts of this entire story, because there was never really an ending to the activity itself. There was no big confrontation that made the woods peaceful again. They simply left, and as far as anyone is concerned, whatever was in those woods is still there. Which leaves us with some questions. Who or what was the man in black? What were those enormous figures with glowing eyes? How did they produce the voice of a screaming woman that both Abram and Beatrice heard? And why did so many of these encounters seem to revolve around luring people into the woods? It seems this family really did encounter something on that property that we fully don't understand. Was this some sort of shape-shifting entity? And what would have happened if they would have stayed? How far would it have gone? So if you're living in Texas and you're near this area, watch yourself in those woods, because I wouldn't go in there. In the daytime or nighttime, you could not pay me to go into those woods. No way. Not even with a group. Even if I had a group with me, I still don't think I would go. What do you think is going on in those woods in Texas? I would love to hear your take. Let me know your thoughts and theories in the comments on YouTube. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and a review and tell me what you believe this family encountered. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. Next time, I've got so much more mystery coming your way. Until then, this is Avery After Dark.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.